Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. Matthew 16:28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Verse 2, he was transfigured before them. What does transfigure mean? The word means that what is within radiates out. He was transfigured before them. The divine nature within radiated through his human frame. What was that divine nature like? I like the testimony of Paul, Peter, and John. Let's see what the divine nature in our Lord Jesus Christ was like. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. The Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin. First Peter chapter 2. His was a nature that knew no sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin. He knew no sin, and he did no sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin. What a man. Knew no sin, did no sin, and there was no sin in him. And it was this inner divine person that radiated out to the disciples. He was God, and he was man. And there are some, you ask them, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was a great man. He was more than that. He was God. I'm going to make a statement now. Don't get upset. I'm not going to preach any false doctrine. The Lord Jesus Christ was as much a man as I am. Don't get upset. You know the difference? He was not such a man as I am. Man, that's what makes the difference. I'm a sinner. He knew no sin, did no sin, and had no sin. And from time to time, as we have read in Matthew, he allows that divine nature to shine out upon us. Now, I say this for the sake of any visitors here. The divine nature cannot radiate out unless first it's inside. Do we agree on that? Read with me in the Gospel of John, please. Chapter 1. How do we become partakers of this divine nature? John chapter 1. verse 13, which were born. The new nature is by birth, not of blood. In other words, you can't inherit it. You know, some people make so much fuss about their blood. I'm a blue blood, and I'm another kind of blood. I remember we had a nurse in New York City in one of the hospitals, and a man who should have known better called from another hospital to the blood bank and asked this nurse, what color blood do you have? She said, it's all red. Which it is. And it is not through any genetic means that you can be born into the family of God. Some speak of their heritage. You cannot through the genes. You hear a lot about genes today? Well, the genes can't get you to be born again. Then it says here, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man. No man can bring you into the family of God, but of God. The new birth that in the believer radiates out is of God. And how does one get that new birth? Chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, born anew, a spiritual birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Shan't even see the kingdom of God. Some people talk about the divine spark in man. That's nonsense. There's no divine spark in man. The only way that man can have the divine in him, he must be born again. Now turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Well-known verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I'm going to deviate here just a little bit. A living sacrifice. You know the story of the pig and the cow? How many of you know that story? Sure. The pig said to the cow, people make so much fuss over you. And all you give is milk. I give my ears, I give my toes, I give my tail, I give everything. And they think so little of me. And Mrs. Cow looked and shook her head and said, you know, you give when you're dead. I give while I'm alive. A living sacrifice. That's what God wants from us. But let's read on. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now that word transformed is the same word that we read in Matthew, transfigured. Why they translated it transform and not transfigured, I have no idea. But it's exactly the same word. The believer is to be transfigured, just as the divine nature shone through the human frame in the Lord Jesus Christ. The divine nature within us is to shine through our human frame. Now, there's one thing we have to be careful of. Oh, where will we find it? 2 Corinthians. One thing we have to be careful of. Chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. And your Bible say transforming. The better word is masquerading. Masquerading themselves as apostles. And no marvel, for Satan himself also masquerades as an angel of light. Didn't he do that in the Garden of Eden? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also masquerade. And we have them by the hundreds in the United States. And you know, the thing about them is they're all trying to do what God is not doing. You ask the average minister, so-called, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to make the world better. Well, God isn't trying to make the world better. That's not his program. His program is to take people out of the world and make them better. But God is not working on making the world better. And we have these fellows masquerading. And the way they talk, you really think they knew something. I like to listen to them. They speak with such authority, but there's no wisdom behind their authority. They speak as if they know what they're talking about. They preach religion. Do you know what religion does? Religion puts a new coat on the man. Do you know what salvation does? Salvation puts a new man in the coat. How do you like that? Salvation. That's what we preach. And that new man in the coat is to radiate out so that others may see. Is it possible for a human being saved to radiate out so that others will know he belongs to the Lord? Is it possible? Now, I'm going to take an example. You would think I was going to turn to the New Testament, wouldn't you, to get an example. I'm going back to Daniel chapter 6. Turn with me, please. Daniel chapter 6. Radiating out the new nature, the new man, the new woman, the new person. Be ye transfigured, even as the Lord was transfigured. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to read the whole chapter. I might say a word or two after that, and then we'll be finished. This is one time that I don't think I'll be owing you any time. This one's going to be short. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first. I wonder why he made Daniel first. Why did he choose Daniel? Why did he make Daniel the first of 3 presidents? We'll see later on. That the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Well, why do you think the king sought to set him over the whole realm? What did he see in him? All these other great people. Why just Mr. Daniel? Let's read on. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. That's the only way they could find something against him. Oh, child of God, I ask you, what can they find against you? They should only be able to find something against us when it comes to divine things. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, I've said this before. It does not say a lion's den. Oh, when I was a boy in New York City, I liked to go to the Bronx Zoo. I liked to see the animals. And I saw more than one man walk in the lion's den. But this is a den of lions. I have never seen a man walk in a den of lions. Have you? Read on.
Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed.
Oh my. Something was coming out, wasn't it? Something was coming out.
11, these men assembled, found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, oh boy, they surely had it in for him, didn't they? That Daniel.
Have you ever had that yourself pointed out like that? How about at school? Have they ever thought, that so-and-so? I've had them. That Garnes.
Oh, my. Oh.
I've told you this before. I tell it again. Had one classmate. The first year, he didn't like me. The second year, we lived in the same dormitory, and he came to me and said, Arthur, I hated you so much so I could have killed you. That Arthur, that Garnes. We read on. Verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He had been tricked. Sore displeased with himself. Set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, O king, that the law of Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Well, what did you expect? Cast him into a den of lions. What do you expect to happen? Notice what the king says.
Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continue, he'll deliver thee.
How did the king know that? That inner new nature was reheating up. And the king saw something in Daniel. I wonder what my children see in me. I wonder what my wife sees in me. I wonder what your husband sees in you. I wonder what your wife sees.
17. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Poor fellow couldn't sleep. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. His sleep went from him. I wonder why. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, Daniel.
Well, he put him in there. Daniel was supposed to be destroyed. Why would the king call out Daniel when Daniel was supposed to be destroyed by the lions? That king had a good idea that Daniel was still alive. Daniel in his life radiated the beauty of the Lord. The king saw it. And when he went down there to that den, he called Daniel. There's Daniel among all the lions. And he himself said that he should go there. But what are the lions supposed to do to Daniel? They're supposed to kill him. That was the object. And yet the king goes down there and calls him by his name. He saw something in Daniel. Radiating from Daniel, that was above and beyond that which he saw in others. And I ask again, beloved, do they see the new nature radiating from us? What do they see at school? What do they see on the job? Verse 20. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, O Daniel. You know, this fascinates me. Why would he call for Daniel when he put him in there with the lions? He had an idea that Daniel's God would save him. O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able? Oh, I ask you, beloved, is God able? Is your God able? Is my God able? And we're so thankful to see there is nothing impossible with God. What a God we have. What a Savior we have. Nothing impossible. He can do anything. Anything that is not contrary to His divine nature. We go on.
Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever.
I like these titles that they give to the king, live forever.
My God sent his angel, shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No matter of hurt was found upon him. Why?
Because he believed in his God. Do you believe in God, beloved? It's a wonderful thing. I can think of several times when just believing in God made all the difference. Especially you folks going to school, at high school and college level. You stand up for Jesus, it's amazing what he will do when you least expect it. Then the
And the king commanded, verse 24, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den.
My. The king was confident that those lions would not destroy Daniel. What gave him that confidence? There was that about Daniel that radiated the divine. Oh, you say to me, oh, that happened several centuries ago. That doesn't happen today. This is the 21st century, age of science. We don't believe those things. I do. Just about a few years ago, not quite 10, my wife and I were invited to Detroit, Michigan. And we stayed with Ken Hampton and Ellen, his wife. And one evening, Ken Hampton said, let's go out to dinner this evening. And we went out to dinner. And there was a young lady waiting on our table. And I said to Ken Hampton, do you know this lady? He said, no. I said, well, there's something about her that's different. I don't know what it is. She had the same uniform as all the others, that same little cap that they wear and the same little identification. I said, there's something different about this young lady. She set the table, brought water, took our orders. But there was something that was different. And I said to her, young lady, I'd like to ask you a personal question. She said, yes. What church do you go to? And as soon as she called it, Ken said, that's an assembly. A member of an assembly of God's people, reflecting as a waitress, so much so that I could see and tell the difference. You say it doesn't work, it can work. And it will work. I've seen it among those with whom I work. There was one young nurse there. Good nurse, good operating room nurse. But she was different. Her voice was gentle. She handled the instruments gently. She was just different. And one day I saw the answer. There was a little place where mid-morning you go down to get coffee and a bun, you know, try to pick you up. I happened to walk in there, and there was this young lady. And when they brought her coffee and her bun, what do you think she did? She closed her eyes and gave thanks. I said, that's it. Radiating. Not with her mouth, with her person. The beauty of Jesus. Transfigured. That's what we read there in Romans chapter 12. Be ye transfigured. Not conformed. Not reformed. Transform. Transfigure. Well, beloved, this is about all I plan to say today. The rest will continue as the Lord leads. Be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to put your mind to it if we're going to be transfigured. You've got to, you know how Psalm 1 reads? Blessed is the man that meditates. We have to learn to meditate on the Word of God. And it's amazing what will happen to us. We'll become more and more like the Lord Himself. But we'll save that for another time. 421, please. We have never sung this to my knowledge. But I believe we can sing it. Fill all my vision. thy holy image reflected in me. Think we can manage this, Brother George? All right. Maybe we ought to stand.